Are you someone who cares deeply about your health and your body, but maybe in a place where your body is not the size you'd like it to be or the health status you thought it would be? We are going to talk in this episode about grief because we talk about grief in regards to losing those that we love or having to give up possessions or places by necessity of circumstance. Less often we hear people talking about openly about the grief that they experience at having to give up a notion of themselves that they've really clung to. Welcome to the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I am Tammy, your fun-loving and often quirky host. I have been a dietitian for close to 20 years where I've helped countless women transform not only their relationship with food, but more importantly themselves. I believe to my core that as you start peeling back the layers to loving your food and yourself, you end up loving your life like never before. And now is the time, my friend. It is time to break up with diet culture, shift your current stories, rev up your internal wisdom, and recognize that every body, regardless of size, not only deserves dignity and respect, but can be healthy because your habits and how you love on yourself is truly what matters. In this podcast, we have real conversations about struggles, insecurities, and false beliefs with loving ourselves and each other through the lens of curiosity, anti-judgment, intuitive eating, spirituality, journaling, and a heaping dose of laughter, maybe some tears, but always a whole lot of realness. Welcome, friends. It's Tammy for this episode on grieving your fantasy body. And so, you know, I know that I generally like to be pretty fun and spunky, but this is just not one of those episodes. We're going to get really real in this episode. There may be some crying. I don't know. I'll probably still have some laughter, but it's just going to be a really real episode. So I really invite you to be in a space when this is a good time for you. And I'm recording this episode because I started to talk about this topic a little bit at the very end of episode 59, where Beth and I talk about three tips for embracing your present moment body. And ever since I recorded that episode, I just couldn't shake the feeling that we needed to talk more about the grief process. And so episode 59 is an excellent episode. That episode is for you if you already have been through the grief process or you feel just, you know, really ready to charge forward in your present moment body. You just don't really know how to, and you're just, you know, looking for those tangible tips. So episode 59 is great for that, but this episode is for you if you still deeply desire a different body. And when I say a different body, this could be in size, shape, functionality, or anything else you don't already have. I find that most of the clients that I help and the prospective clients that I have the opportunity to talk to really fit into this category. So they already know that they're really overdoing, you know, what they've done in the past with eating experiences, body control, or even health, but they feel really stuck in just knowing what else to do. And they just feel really unsure about how to move forward without deeply criticizing themselves. And let's face it, they're likely holding on to some fear around their body of what does it look like to be in a body of a size that you didn't imagine that you would be in, or maybe some fear or grief around losing certain functionalities of your body. And it may or may not be related to a whole different host of things, but this is the body that you currently have. And so if this is like you, then this is definitely your episode. And so I want to invite you to just, again, tune in, sit back, and just decide what parts of this episode really relates to you versus maybe some of it doesn't relate to you, and that's okay. And I also want to give the caveat that I am not a grief counselor, but I do have a myriad of experience with understanding the emotions and the grief and all of the other aspects that can go into how we experience our body and how we can really start to peel back those layers of the experience, you know, within the body. So I think it's important that before we talk about how to navigate any feelings of grief with the body, I want to talk a little bit first about what is that fantasy body? The body that I had imagined for myself, she was effortlessly thin. She was gorgeous and her skin was always clear. She wore super cute clothing that was just absolutely stunning. She looked almost like she was out of a magazine. Just simply perfection and all pulled together. And it wasn't even just about her body either. She was really just so cool and confident. And she had hair that people would just die for. She was smart. She was eloquent. She was extremely charismatic. And she was just, again, effortlessly successful in every endeavor that she ever dipped her toe into. So when I imagine the fantasy body, I imagine that everything in life is just falling into place and it's just really easy, right? So I'm curious and invite you to take a minute and really connect with, okay, what is my fantasy body in life? Like, where have I been attaching myself to? And then from there, I invite you to join me in starting to unravel a little bit of where did this fantasy come from? And this is so silly, but it's not silly. It's reality. Is at one point when I was much, much younger, I had cut an image out of a magazine and I put this image into a scrapbook because when I got into high school, this was going to be my prom dress. This is how I was going to look. This was going to be who I was embodying. And I almost have to wonder if I would be able to find that in my very old scrapbook. I bet you it's still there. So anyways, I'm just curious about that. But these seeds get planted very, very early. And it's not just from magazines. It can be from generations passed down to us because maybe our parents wanted better for us, our other ancestors wanted better for us, or it can be from friends influenced, it can be from medical providers, it can be from just a lot of different places. But ultimately, you were likely taught that being in this fantasy body is going to be how you achieved a good relationship with a significant other. This is how you were going to receive a job or jobs. This was also how you were going to receive your health. Almost literally everything in life kind of clung to this fantasy self. But, you know, I have to ask you, have you ever 100% been her? Now, I know that you can probably look back at yourself and say, oh, wow, I was her at that point, but you couldn't see that you were her, right? I've been there and I've heard that hundreds of times. And maybe you achieved the body for a certain time being, but were you really happy and healthy? And taking into the construct of, were you happy and healthy mentally and emotionally, right? And this is why when we look back at ourselves, we can say, wow, you know, I thought I looked so awful, but wow, what I wouldn't give, right, to be back in that body now. And just recognizing, wow, my body has morphed and it's changed, and how much I would just love to be back in that body. But you can also remember that when you were back in that body, you were not a happy person. You were likely still striving for something, searching for something. Nothing was ever good enough. And that's because that is the programming, you know, that's running in the background, the subconscious imprints of need to be better, need to strive for more. You're not quite enough yet, right? So even if you had the quote unquote fantasy body at one point in your life, you weren't happy with it, right? But more likely than not, you've probably just been waiting in the wings, right? You've been thinking, life will finally start when this fantasy woman arrives. And you find yourself just constantly comparing your current self to the fantasy self, never living up. And this in lies here where the never enough comes from, oftentimes, is that we build up this fantasy of who we're supposed to be, and we're not it, we don't think, and we can't see how great we are. All we can see is our shortcomings. So we don't live up to that future self. And so if you're listening to this episode, it's probably because there's some part of you that's, you know, starting to realize that as you age and as the days pass, that full package fantasy self never arrives, or as you may choose to think about it, is never quote unquote coming back. But again, full package fantasy self, like, has that ever even been a thing? In fact, what's probably happening for you right now is that you're starting to tack on more reasons of how your current self is getting further and further from that future self. Every day that passes by and you're getting a new ache and a new pain and a this or a that, and, you know, maybe you've received a diagnosis recently about your health, and that's just oftentimes another level of blam. It's called blam on your body, because that's how it feels. It feels like a sucker punch to your whole experience of life when you receive a diagnosis. And you're maybe having to go through figuring it out and understanding it. And then there's a lot of pressure put on you to understand it and to figure it out and to fix it, right? We start taking on this burden of fixing. So it's not even just connecting to the fantasy self, but now we're supposed to fix our current self, because now we can't even be our current self, right? So we start to get this gap of distance of who we are. So in my experience, this right here and this experience of observing this gap that's happening between either current self or new self to our fantasy self, right? This gap right here is what spins people into grief. And, you know, we talk about grief in regards to losing those that we love or having to give up possessions or places. But less often we hear people talking openly about the grief that they experience at having to give up a notion of themselves that they clung to for dear life. So that's what I want to do today, is I want to really dive into that and talk about that today. So let's talk about, what do we do then? So first and foremost, we need to acknowledge that you have grief. We need to acknowledge that that is a very real emotion, and those emotions are circulating in your body and provide you a space to process those emotions and those feelings. Okay. As you have probably heard me talk about before, and if not, if this is your first episode, we've done several episodes on how emotions are energy in motion, and being able to recognize, you know, where you're at on the vibrational emotional scale. And if you're in a grief state, this is one of the lowest vibrations or frequencies of an emotion. And oftentimes when that emotion is present for us in one area of life, that emotion is going to be present in multiple areas of life. So we need to acknowledge it. We need to name it. We need to hold it. We need to just allow it. Okay. And again, provide that space to process. This is completely valid to grieve your fantasy self, you know, just as you would another person or loved one or pet or thing in your life. Acknowledging it can really go a long way to start the healing process. And it's important to, again, allow that space for these emotions to be seen, witnessed, and released. And I find that when I say space, I'm most often talking about allowing yourself to discuss those feelings with somebody, write about those feelings, and intentionally move those feelings through your body and out. So there's a lot of different practices for releasing emotions, but just talking about them or writing them are definitely two of the most foundational ways that most people feel really comfortable with doing. Really quick, we are going to take a break from this episode because I want to check in with you. And thank you so much for taking precious time out of your day to listen in here. I know you're listening because there's some part of you looking for answers as it relates to food, your body, your health, or even your mental well-being. And I'm curious, are you finding the answers you came for? If you're like most of the women I work with, you have been searching for some time and you've been down the road of wishing and hoping for far too long. So you want concrete answers. So here are your choices. You can stay being an avid listener, finding your answers in a DIY style, or if you're done with DIYs and guidance with no outcomes, please click the link in the description to visit my services page. Here you will discover a variety of options, from a free Facebook community to a highly immersive group program. Whatever you need, I've got you. The next topic that I want to talk about as it relates to grieving the fantasy body is cultivating self-compassion and self-forgiveness. If you have spent, you know, a quarter, a half, or more of your life, fantasizing about having a different body, that probably won't go away overnight. Okay. That's really normal and totally okay. So I find that sometimes when women come into this work of thinking, okay, I'm going to get onto this journey of liberation or discovering how to love my food and love myself and love my life, that they start to think that they are just instantly supposed to adopt all of these things and just instantly supposed to believe all of them. But that's just not reality, right? So as a reminder, again, these thoughts and feelings and this fantasy body was really developed for quite some time. And so shifting it and changing it and releasing, most importantly, releasing that fantasy body, it's going to take some time, okay? It's going to take some time. And I really recommend developing a practice, if you don't already have one, of self-compassion. And one way to start a practice for self-compassion is through shifting and changing your self-talk. So starting to notice how much that inner critic is coming up and shifting the talk to yourself as if you're talking to somebody else. You know, so begin to imagine that you have one of your most loved family members, friends, whomever, children maybe, coming to you and saying the mean things about themselves, and they're telling you about this. What would you say to them? That can be extremely helpful for a lot of my clients. Another self-compassion practice that some of my clients like to adopt and that I practice at times is it's talking to the inner child, right? So for me, it's going to be talking to that younger Tammy who was cutting that picture out of the magazine. And maybe for me, it's going to be going ahead and finding that magazine article if I have it and having a conversation with that younger Tammy to tell her, you know, this is a really fun picture and you're already great at who it is that you are. You don't need to try to be this person because that person is that person. You know, so it's just developing that dialogue with your younger self and letting her hear what it is she needs to hear, right? But overall, it's just being really kind to yourself and saying, in this moment, how can I be the most gentle and the most kind with myself? How can I be gentle and kind with myself with nourishing myself? How can I be gentle and kind with how I move my body? How can I be gentle and kind with how I talk to myself? How can I be gentle and kind with dressing myself? How can I be gentle and kind doing the things I need to do for my health? Right? So it's just, again, just being really, really kind and compassionate to yourself. And as you continue to do this over time, practicing compassion on a regular basis, over time, your brain will begin to form neural pathways on being compassionate. And over time, you won't have to intentionally be kind to yourself. You'll actually start noticing yourself being kind to yourself, and you'll almost surprise yourself. So that can be really fun. But just being really kind to yourself and compassionate, especially when you are experiencing feelings of grief And I feel like one of the most humanizing things we can do is to say, of course I feel this way, right? Of course I have this fantasy body because this is how we grew up and this is what society has led to. And if you are somebody who is in a marginalized body, there's a level of grief that goes with that because there are certain privileges afforded to those not in a marginalized body. And there are people who lose access to jobs because of the size of their body. There are people who lose access to healthcare because of the size of their body. And just humanizing that, of course you're experiencing grief. You know, just being compassionate and saying, you're human. Of course you're going through this. Anybody else in your shoes would be going through the exact same thing. And as soon as you begin to, you know, not feel alone, that's when the pressure can start to subside a little bit. And so, of course, that is another one of my recommendations. If you couldn't guess it, you know, just really allowing yourself to be supported and to be around others who've experienced what you're experiencing, because I am going to tell you right now, you are not alone, right? So whether you are joining hands with me to support you or not, there is somebody else out there, if it's not me, that has been through what you have been through. I promise you, because the grief of the fantasy body just is in so many of us. I don't have specific statistics to talk specifically about the fantasy body, but I would be inclined to almost say that 100% of us have grown up with a fantasy future self, right? Because that's just kind of how the brain works. So anyhow, the next tip that I would like to talk about as it relates to grieving the fantasy body is that I would like to highlight that you, my friend, are not a failure. Okay. Letting go or releasing your fantasy self is not giving up. It's not quitting. It's not letting yourself go. Okay. It is pivoting. We at times praise corporations or businesses or what have you for changing directions all the time, because it can be a smart thing to do if in a business you've learned, hey, this isn't working. And so you have to pivot, right? You have to shift. You have to do something different. So by releasing the future self, you are simply moving towards goals that truly will bring you more well-being beyond anything you could have ever even imagined. Okay. So it's leaning into trust and acceptance and just knowing that you are not a failure. The grieving process may take a little bit of time, just like with any other grieving process. You are likely to go through a mixture of emotions in terms of denial and anger and bargaining and depression and acceptance, right? So acceptance of where you're at and really being able to take charge of your health in a whole new way does only come at acceptance. However, you need to go through the grieving process. And if you are a normal human, which I know you are because you're listening to this with normal human ears, having support in that process is extremely vital. Whether it's a friend or a family member who can say, I get you, I hear you, I see you, that's everything. Or it's joining a community of other women who are just ready to go through that process as well. And they also want to discover their optimal health kind of at the same time, right? So if we're going to release this idea of the fantasy body, but we still care about our health and we're not going to criticize ourselves, it's like, wait a minute, what do I do? So this is where it can be really important and helpful to join forces with someone like myself and Beth, who can really guide you through that process step by step. So in closing today, I want to read a little blurb from the intuitive eating book that talks about the fantasy body. You may need to mourn for the fantasy body you've chased and the temporary illusion of peace that came from going down the dieting road. For many people, it begins the difficult work of grieving the loss of a smaller body and all the privileges that may come with it. Consider the price you have paid, energy, time, and emotional investment, chasing one diet after another to seek your fantasy body. By saying farewell to the fantasy, you open the door to being at peace, not only with your body, but with other facets of life. This is much easier to do for people who are in culturally accepted body sizes. For larger sized people, it becomes a journey of how to manage living in a world that oppresses higher weight people. Inner acceptance often is not enough. Finding a community of friends and a counselor who can give emotional support for the pain that you feel from stigma of any kind is the first step in living a fulfilling life. That was read right out of the Intuitive Eating book, 4th edition. And I just want to say thank you for being here with me and listening to this and going through this. And I invite you to take some deep breaths and just allow some of this to move through you and then go through and listen again as needed. So your transformational takeaway for this episode is this: you are invited to release the fantasy of your future body and dream about your future fantasy life. All of that is available to you. Much love, everybody. Thank you so much for listening in and being a part of the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode as much as I have, and I would love nothing more than to connect with you in other ways as well. So click the link in the description to visit youressentialdietitian.com/services and discover how we may do that. Again, thank you for being here. Much love.